Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program. Now today, the message is going to be brought from Psalm 23 and some of Psalm 24, if you'd like to follow along in your Bibles. Last week, I began this message, the first part, and this is the conclusion, entitled, Jesus Christ, Priest, Prophet, and King. Jesus Christ, Priest, Prophet, and King. And it's taken from these three Psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. These three Psalms together form a trilogy concerning what we call the mediatorial offices of Christ as the Savior of His people. Christ being the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the God-man. He has three offices in His mediatorial work. First is the office of high priest, and that's described in Psalm 22. That's the one where David, and understand now, these are all Psalms of David. God, David was the human instrument used of God to write these Psalms. And these things can be applied to David personally in the sense of what he was struggling and going through and his faith. But ultimately, they all apply prophetically to the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 22, for example, you remember, starts off in verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And Christ on the cross repeated that to show that He Himself on the cross, as the surety and substitute of God's elect, dying for their sins, forsaken of God based on sin imputed, charged, accounted to Him, was the fulfillment of what David wrote in Psalm 22. So here you have the work of Christ, the great high priest. The high priest, remember, he brought the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies back under the old covenant. Well, Jesus Christ is the one true eternal great high priest who brings the sacrifice of Himself, His blood, His righteousness, into the presence of the Father for the salvation of His people. And that's how it ends in Psalm 22, verse 31. They shall come. That's talking about His... Or read verse 30. A seed shall serve Him. That's all for whom He died. You see, everyone... The Bible teaches that everyone for whom Christ died shall serve Him, shall believe. They'll be born again. They'll believe. They'll repent. They'll serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. It's all of Him. They shall come, verse 31, and shall declare His righteousness. That's His righteousness imputed. That is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel, Romans 1:17, in which all the people of God stand before God. In other words, I stand before God not in my own righteousness, not in my own works or merit, but in Christ, who is my righteousness. His righteousness is imputed, charged to me. And they shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. Now, because Jesus Christ has accomplished the redemption of His people, the salvation of His people, because He, as Daniel said, made an end of sin, finished the transgression, and brought in everlasting righteousness, because there is salvation in Him, not just the possibility of salvation, but real salvation in Him, we have a message to tell. And that's where we come to Psalm 23. Christ, the great prophet. You see, if Christ had not done what He did on the cross, if He had not finished the work, the Bible says in Romans 10:4 that Christ is the end of the law, the fulfillment, the perfection, the finishing, completion of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You see, you must believe that He is who He said He is, and He did what He said He did. He's God in human flesh, and He's the one who by His blood put away the sins of His people. Because He did that, we have a message to tell, and that message comes from Christ, our great prophet. And that's portrayed in the 23rd Psalm. Now, this psalm is so familiar to most people. The shepherd's psalm. He starts off in Psalm 23:1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, notice David says here, he doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. And that's what I'm concerned with my own salvation. Is Christ my shepherd? Not just a shepherd, but my shepherd, so that I can say with David of old, I shall not want. To want is to lack something. I shall not lack. In other words, if the Lord, Jehovah, saves Christ, that's who He is, Jesus Christ, if He's my shepherd, then I lack nothing as far as salvation and a right relationship with God is concerned. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, what is this shepherd psalm about? Well, you know, over in John chapter 10, the Lord Himself spoke of Himself as the good shepherd. Listen to John chapter 10 and verse 11. And listen to what He says. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." Now, who did Christ die for? The Bible says He died for His sheep. I am the good shepherd. That's the first thing. A good shepherd is one who loves his sheep so much that he would die to save them and protect them. And that's what Christ did. Now, His death is described over in Psalm 22, where he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So in John 10, He says in verse 11, down in verse 14, listen to this. He says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine." He knows who His sheep are. He died for His sheep. You remember the high priest of Israel, when he went into the Holy of Holies, he had certain clothing that he must wear. And on that was a breastplate. And on that breastplate, he had 12 names. That was the names of the tribes of Israel. And he had an amulet on each shoulder. On one shoulder, he had 6 names. On the other shoulder, he had 6 names, 12 names altogether. That pictured and typified the Lord Jesus Christ, who went to the cross for God's elect who were given Him before the foundation of the world. He knows His sheep. Their names were written on His breastplate, His heart. Their names were written on His shoulder. All their salvation was conditioned on Him. And He said, "I know them and am known of mine." They'll know Him. You say, how do you know if Christ died for you? Well, you'll come to know Him. And listen to what He says. He says in verse 15, "As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." That is, He had other sheep that were not just of the Jews, but of the Gentiles too. He said, "Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice." You see, we're talking about His prophetic office, the preaching of the gospel. "And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Over in verse 25, here's how Christ dealt with unbelievers. He knows men's hearts. He said, "I told you and you believe not. The works that I do," verse 25, "in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." You see that? They'll never perish. Now go back to the 23rd Psalm and listen to it as we read through it in that vein. Verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack." Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Green means life. In other words, eternal life comes through Christ. And life is what must be given in salvation, spiritual life. Do you understand? If you believe the Bible, you have to know that by nature, and when I use the term by nature, I mean as we are naturally born into this world, we are born dead spiritually. Dead in trespasses and sin. Dead in every way that you can say dead spiritually. Now that doesn't mean that you don't have a mind and a heart, affections and will. Doesn't mean you can't make choices and all that. But here, being spiritually dead, we have no mind or heart for God. All of our choices are in opposition to the glory of God in Christ. Even our moral choices. Even our religious choices. You see, that's why we talk about the will being in bondage. People talk about free will today. And they don't understand what they're saying. Is man's will free to do, to choose God? The Bible says no. Because we don't want God by nature. Now, when a man becomes religious, or a man or woman becomes religious, or a man or woman goes through a religious ceremony, that is not choosing God. And the glory of God in Christ, my friend, you make choices every day. Sometimes you make good choices, you make bad choices. Me too. But by nature, none of our choices, none of the things we choose are to the glory and praise of God in Christ. Our will must be changed. That's why we must be born again. That's why you know, you choose things all the time, and you may choose them out of ignorance. By nature, we don't know the way of eternal life. We're in ignorance. You may be deceived. Satan is the great deceiver. You may make a choice that you're going to live your life from now on trying to earn God's favor and try to be the best person you can be. My friend, that does not glorify God. That exalts you. Our wills are in bondage to sin. We have to be born again. And we have to be given spiritual life. And that's what he's saying here. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Jesus Christ is my life. And how is he my life? Well, life comes through righteousness. Romans 5:21. As sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. In Christ I have righteousness, so therefore in Christ I have life. And he says he makes me to lie down in green pastures. In other words, there's rest in him. I don't have to work my way into God's favor. I don't have to work my way into salvation because I'm resting in Christ. Christ is my Sabbath. He's my Sabbath rest. I don't have to establish my own righteousness before God because Christ is my righteousness. Now, does that mean that I can go out and live like hell or live like any way out? No. I must fight sin, but not for those reasons. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Look at verse 2. He leadeth me beside the still waters, the waters of quietness. There's peace with God through Jesus Christ. And that peace was made on the cross when Christ died for my sins, satisfied justice, paid my debt, and brought forth righteousness in which I stand before God. And these waters, that's the Word of God communicates that to me. Verse 3, He restoreth my soul. He restores me. He gives me a right motive, a right reason, a right goal to glorify God. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The paths of righteousness is not a sinner trying to work his way into righteousness or work his way into God's favor. The paths of righteousness is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, running the race of grace, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, Hebrews 12:2, and it's for His name's sake. It's for His glory. It's not to draw attention to me. It's to draw attention to Christ. I'm just a signpost. That's what John the Baptist said. He said, I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness. He says in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what we're walking through right now in this world. The valley of the shadow of death. There's death all around us, isn't there? We're dying. You know, one old preacher said, I preach as a dying man to dying men. Talking about physical death. But I'll fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The rod of correction, the staff of direction. That's what that is. Like a shepherd with his staff to keep the sheep in line. And he does it by his word, and he doesn't do it with a whip. The whip of the law. You see, that's the way a lot of people, you know, disobey and die, or do and live. A lot of preachers, they'll use the whip of the law to try to get people, and that's legalism. But he uses his rod and his staff. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The table of salvation and blessedness, righteousness, is already prepared. This salvation is not a potluck supper. Bring your own dish. It's already there. Christ, he told his disciples, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'll come again. That's why he died. That's why he was buried. That's why he arose again the third day. You see, when we call sinners to salvation, we call sinners to come unto Christ bringing nothing with them. That's right. Because nothing you have, nothing you are can recommend you unto God. Come as a sinner seeking mercy in Christ. Thou anointest my head with oil, verse 5. My cup runneth over. The oil, there's the oil of the Holy Spirit who gives life. We must be born again. And he shows us the abundance. My cup runneth over. It's kind of like saying over there in Romans 5 and verse 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace, my cup runs over. It's more than full. It's more than enough. And then he says in verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's eternal security in Christ. In other words, if I'm saved, it's by the goodness and mercy of God, which follows me all the days of my life. And because of that, I'm eternally secure in Christ. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord for you. I can't be kicked out of his family because he loves me and he sent Christ to die for me. Now that's the shepherd's psalm. That's the office of prophet. Here's the good news. In Psalm 24, we see Christ the king, his kingly office. He's the king of glory, the psalmist says. You see, Christ, as God, the Son, absolutely considered, has always been in control, king, high above us. But this is his kingly office as the mediator of his people, the one who saved them. And he starts off in Psalm 24 and verse 1. He says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein, it all belongs to him. Verse 2, he hath founded it upon the seas, established it upon the floods. Christ is the creator. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he asked this question in verse 3 of Psalm 24. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? It's like he's saying, who is qualified? Who is worthy to ascend unto the hill of the Lord, to approach God? Remember back under the old covenant, when Moses was getting the law on Mount Sinai, he came down and he told the people, don't come near this mountain. He said, if even an animal come near, it's to be thrust through with a spear or a sword or an arrow. Because we're sinners. We have no worthiness. We have no qualification. We have no righteousness. You see, Lord, if thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? Well, here's the answer. Verse 4 of Psalm 24. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted his soul up, lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. That's who. Verse 5. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now, can I look at myself honestly and claim that I have clean hands and a pure heart? That I've never lifted up my soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully? And the answer is no. Where does that leave me? I have no hope in myself. I have no hope. I have no way of salvation in myself. He says here in verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Jacob. But here's the point that he comes to. Verse 7, lift up your hands, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who's worthy to ascend unto the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place? Who has clean hands and a pure heart? Who's never lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceit? I tell you who, the King of glory, Jesus Christ the King. Jesus Christ the priest who died for the sins of his people. The Lord, their righteousness. Jesus Christ, the prophet, the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep. Jesus Christ, the King of glory. Verse 8 says, who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. It's Jesus Christ. He's this King of glory. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. What is he saying here? He's saying that the only hope that a sinner has of approaching God, being accepted with God, saved by God, forgiven of sins, justified, sanctified, is the King of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord, my righteousness. And you say, somebody said, well, doesn't he cleanse our heart from sin? Yes, he does. He cleanses us in the sense of the Holy Spirit applying his blood to our conscience. Realizing that we're sinners in ourselves, we have a hope. We who believe now, not all without exception, but we who believe in him, we plead his blood to cleanse us from all sin. That's what we do. Because he has pure hands. He alone, or clean hands and a pure heart. Christ is the only sinless one. When he went to the cross, he was made sin, but that was only by the imputation, the illegal accounting of the sins of his people to him. And when we come unto God, we have a righteousness, but not one of our own, not one that we worked out, not one that we had any part in producing. It's the righteousness of the King of glory in which we stand. We stand before God. We who believe now, we who are saved, we who are justified. What does it mean to be justified? It means I'm not guilty. It means I have a righteousness that answers the demands of God's law and justice. It means that I cannot be charged with sin in the court of God's justice. Therefore, I cannot be condemned. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. What is it to walk after the Spirit? It's to follow Christ. It's to trust him. It's to lean on him. It's to commit my whole salvation unto him. I quoted this last time where Paul said, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I've committed my whole salvation to Christ, Jesus Christ, my high priest, Jesus Christ, my prophet, my shepherd, Jesus Christ, the King of glory. And the Bible says he's King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no one above him. The Bible also says that in the end, when he comes again the second time, that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And what he's talking about there is this. God's people, God's elect, Christ's sheep, they bow to him and submit to him in the power of the Holy Spirit under the preaching of the gospel now, in this life. But in the end, those who refuse to submit, they will be condemned. They will be brought to their knees, and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. They were wrong, and they'll be condemned. And don't wait. In this life, you're commanded to seek the Lord. Who is he? He's the King of glory. The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. What was the battle that he fought? He fought against sin, and he won the battle. Victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Christ kept the law. He fulfilled the law. He brought righteousness in. He battled Satan and the prince of this world, and he was cast out. He battled the world. He's overcome the world. He said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. All of that. He's mighty in battle. And all who stand against him, though they think they can win, they won't. He's mighty in battle. And so lift up your hands, O ye gates. Be ye lift up. The King of glory shall come in. We who are in Christ have free, open, unhindered access to God because of Christ, our great high priest. We have a great high priest who's passed through in the heavens because of Christ, the good shepherd, our prophet, and because of Christ, the King of kings, the King of glory. He brings us to God, and we believe in him. Hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.